letter to the White House.
A preliminary test came back positive for cyanide.
Threats in Japan.
The man speaking in English threatened to kill Caroline Kennedy.
Netanyahu wins in Israel.
What may change in relations with the U.S.?
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, more tests are being run on a suspicious letter addressed to the White House. Did it contain a deadly chemical? Live to White House correspondent Pam Coulter.
Steve, a preliminary test on a milky substance in a container mailed to the White House but screened off-site came back positive for cyanide. A test for biological material was negative, but there will be another round of testing today. Forensic expert Lawrence Kobolinski.
If it came in a letter, there's going to be document evidence. There may be ink and paper. Document examiners will look at that.
So far, no reports of anyone sickened. Mail screening was stepped up after anthrax-tainted letters were sent to Washington sites after 9/11. Steve?
Well, threats overseas and Caroline Kennedy, the U.S. ambassador to Japan and daughter of JFK, is at the center of them. CBS's Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo.
Japan's Metropolitan Police Department issued a short statement saying the U.S. embassy received multiple phone threats from a man vowing Kennedy would be killed. He also made death threats against the consul general in Okinawa, where tens of thousands of U.S. troops are stationed. Both the embassy and police department refused to answer questions.
An American Air Force veteran is accused of plotting to join up with ISIS. CBS's Jeff Pegues says Tarod Pugh is expected to plead not guilty to charges.
According to court documents, on January 10th, he flew from Cairo, Egypt to Istanbul, Turkey. U.S. investigators believe his plan was to join ISIS in Syria. But he raised alarms when he told authorities in Turkey he was with the United States Special Forces and sought to enter Turkey for vacation. He was sent back to Egypt and eventually deported to the United States.
Now to Israel, where yesterday's parliamentary election did not force a change at the top. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared victory to an adoring crowd. His Likud party won easily after trailing in the polls to the dovish opposition as undecided voters apparently turned to the right. Netanyahu's opposition to a Palestinian state and tough stance on Iran could further strain relations with the U.S. and Europe.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. The White House isn't publicly taking sides, but an author who's spoken with President Obama's senior officials says it's clear they wanted Netanyahu to lose.
There's not a lot of good feeling toward Netanyahu in the White House.
Jeffrey Goldberg, who writes for The Atlantic, adds that if Israel's prime minister hangs on to his job, then he and President Obama will have to find ways to cooperate because the Iran nuclear talks and other Middle East crises are too important for U.S. and Israeli leaders not to keep closely in touch.
The Presbyterian Church USA has become the largest Protestant denomination in this country to accept same-sex marriage. Reverend Brian Ellison lobbied for the change.
I hope we're sending the message that the good news of God's love is for everyone.
Gay marriage opponent John Eastman predicts some of the flock may now flee.
I expect many of them will leave and join either the Presbyterian Church in America or the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians.
Penn State officials and police say action will be taken against Kappa Delta Rho fraternity members who allegedly used a private Facebook page to post photos of nude women, some asleep or passed out.
The investigation's in its infancy. We're still trying to identify victims. How pervasive this has been, how long this has been going on, I can't say for sure.
State College Assistant Police Chief John Gardner, the fraternity's been suspended. A just-released study raises new questions about breast biopsies. We're live with CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Abby Howell's mammogram turned up something suspicious.
I had atypical cell. It was really confusing to me, and I couldn't figure out exactly what that meant.
Turns out many pathologists can't either. In a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, an expert panel agreed almost totally with invasive cancer diagnoses, but in less clear cases, there was up to 50% disagreement, suggesting many women are being misdiagnosed and treated inappropriately.
Now we know which cases are the most challenging. Now we can study how much improvement we can get by adding in second opinions.
University of Washington Dr. Joanne Elmore. Steve?
Well, three people were shot and killed, four others wounded last night at a grocery store in Stockton, California. Police are investigating. No word on any arrests. Investigators have searched real estate heir Robert Durst's Houston home. CBS's Heather Bosch.
Officers spent hours combing a Houston condo and left carrying boxes of potential evidence.
It's unusual to see this much activity.
It surprised Robert Durst's neighbor, Bob Martin.
He was just a quiet, older gentleman.
But Durst is charged with murdering Susan Berman in Los Angeles 15 years ago. Durst's attorney, Dick DeGaren.
It's not based on facts, it's based on ratings.
L.A. police deny Durst's arrest had anything to do with a recent HBO series about him. Durst was apprehended in Louisiana, where he also faces charges. Prison officials there say they've moved him to a different facility because of a mental health problem.
The personal information of some 11 million people may have been compromised by hackers who hit Primera Blue Cross, a health insurer in the Pacific Northwest. CBS News and CNET analyst Larry Maggot.
What's particularly disturbing about this attack is that it may have compromised health information as well as other data such as names, birthdays, social security numbers, and bank information.
Microsoft is sending Internet Explorer off to the Internet history books. Once a dominant browser, it's being replaced by a speedier one designed for mobile devices called Project Spartan. A special election will be held within the next 4 months to fill the Illinois congressional seat. Aaron Schock will vacate at month's end. CBS's Nancy Cordes says the 33-year-old Republican stepped down amid a host of spending questions.
It all started with the profile in the Washington Post, a sort of amusing profile of his new Capitol Hill office, which had been decorated with a Downton Abbey theme. But what followed wasn't funny as reporters dug into his financial disclosure forms and found discrepancy after discrepancy.
Some of those involved mileage reimbursements, and Schock spent $40,000 in house expenses for air travel on planes owned by donors. A recall has been announced by Kraft.
Gooey, creamy, delicious Kraft macaroni and cheese.
6.5 million boxes of original flavor mac and cheese being recalled because some contain pieces of metal. The U.S. won the race to the moon, but the Soviets had the first spacewalk 50 years ago today.
Alexei Leonov stepped into space on a tether, spent 12 minutes making the first spacewalk. When his suit overpressurized, Leonov was unable to fit back into the airlock.
My head worked like a computer. What am I going to do?
Letting air out of the suit, he made it back in safely, then took a sketchbook and colored pencils and drew what he'd seen out there. U.S. astronauts like David Scott were surprised.
It was hard to believe it. We were getting ready, and all of a sudden, they did it.
Scott was a moonwalker. If the Soviet program hadn't faltered, Leonov would have been their Neil Armstrong.
I think he'd have done a good job.
Alexei Leonov is now 80, a great cosmonaut, a fine painter, and storyteller. Dave Barrett, CBS News.
The board game Monopoly's 80th birthday is tomorrow. It's been played by an estimated 1 billion people in more than 100 countries. Hasbro's out with a special edition of the game to celebrate. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.